Well, good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
We're moving on in our study today. We're turning to a new psalm. It's the Psalm 74. Psalm 74. In this psalm, we see a prophetic reference to the same period in the experience of Israel as that which we were looking at in Psalm 17. In Psalm 17, there was very obviously a consciousness amongst the people of Israel, as is recorded, of the opposition of the enemy, and there was a cry to the Lord that he might come to their aid. I feel that in the last days, the nation of Israel will begin to suffer very much, especially in that period known as the Great Tribulation. But at the beginning of their sufferings, there will be amongst them a great sense of self-righteousness. They feel that they have done no wrong. They will be very much blind to their own sin. That's how it was back when they crucified the Lord Jesus. They didn't sense in the least that what they were doing was wrong. Though, as we read the account in the Gospel, we can see very clearly how wrong they were, but they didn't seem to have a consciousness of their wrong. Now in Psalm 74, things have moved on just a little bit. And I would suggest to you that in this psalm, Israel is becoming aware that something's wrong. Something is wrong. God is not favoring us as he has in the past. Why is this so? I was just reading this morning in the Minor Prophets, the book of Habakkuk, as we would say, some people say Habakkuk. You can make your choice. But in that book, and you don't have to turn it up, but in that book there is something of what it is I feel Israel one day will feel under the time of tribulation. The prophet Habakkuk says in verse 2 of his book, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou shalt not hear? He was conscious that they were out of favor with God. He wasn't hearing them. And that will come to Israel in the very last days. They will suddenly become conscious that something's wrong. Whereas in Psalm 17 there is a spirit of self-righteousness, as it were. Prophetically speaking, Israel will feel themselves to not have in any way offended God, but they've moved on in Psalm 74 to become conscious something is wrong. Let's read the opening verses of Psalm 74. I'm calling this study the beginning of a spiritual dawn. When I got up this morning, it was dark. But very shortly afterwards, the sky began to light. Dawn was breaking. And there's a dawn breaking here in this psalm. Light begins to break through the darkness in which Israel at the present time dwells and will continue to dwell right up until the end of this age. Verse 1 then, Psalm 74. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Isn't that something like what Habakkuk said? We're out of favor with God. Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion wherein thou hast dwelt. All in the past tense, you will notice. All in the past tense. They're thinking back, this is how things used to be, but they're not like that now. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolation, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in thy sanctuary. Now that tells us the state of affairs, and prophetically, it tells us the state of affairs that will be at the end. The enemy shall have come in and wrought desolation in the sanctuary that the Jews will build again. The Jews are going to build the temple in Jerusalem. I don't rely on the Jews telling me that. I rely on the Bible saying it will be so. Many of the Jews wouldn't realize that that is going to happen. But I know it's going to happen because the Bible tells me it's going to happen. But when they build that temple, it will be the target of the Antichrist. And he will seek to destroy it and violate it by setting up in it an idol. I believe an idol of himself, requiring the people to worship him. And that will be just a few years, 3.5 years, before the Savior returns. So that's the spirit of this psalm, the prophetic spirit of this psalm. Always remember, and I hope that you can understand this, always remember that there is in the Psalms, in the Bible generally, an understanding that the writer is speaking of his time, events in his day. But also, there is that prophetic element whereby the events of the days of the writer picture what's going to happen in the future. What's going to happen in the future? And I can illustrate that for you very, very simply using the words, familiar words, if you have been listening to me. The Lord Jesus said that the end of this age will be like as it was in the days of Noah. So that the events in the days of Noah not only spoke of things that were happening in Noah's day, but they were also a picture of what will happen at the end of the age. So there are these two layers, if I might put it like that, in the Bible that we need to grasp and understand. And that's the way it is here in Psalm 74. Oh yes, the psalmist was speaking of things that were happening in his day, but he was also, by the Spirit of God, speaking prophetically of things that would happen at the end of the age. And that's the emphasis we're placing upon his words in our study. For here we have the beginning of a dawn of light, eternal light, the light of truth, granted to Israel at the end of this age. So let me make a few points just by way of introduction. We have in this psalm what are amongst the first cries of some of Israel unto the Lord during the days of the great tribulation. I say some of Israel because not all of Israel will become conscious of the spiritual affairs that were taking place amongst them. They'll not become conscious of God's dealing. The Bible tells us that during the time of the tribulation, 2/3 of Israel will be put to death by the enemy. And only 1/3 will survive. And it's that 1/3, by God's mercy, that will enjoy spiritual blessing, regeneration, conversion. So here in this psalm, we have a picture, a prophetic picture of the first cry, first concern of some in Israel in the very, very last days, those days of the great tribulation that the Savior said would come. Matthew chapter 24 and the verse 21. That great tribulation will last for 3.5 years. I have often thought of that period. I have measured it, as it were. Thought back 3.5 years and considered just how long that period seemed to me. If we were to look back 3.5 years, this is 2022, that would bring us back to 21, 20, 19, and then half a year. We're almost at the end of 2022, so halfway through 2018 would have been the beginning of a period of 3.5 years up to the present time. And I've often thought of how long that seems to be and how much longer it will appear to those who are suffering great tribulation. Now, these words, which contain cries unto God, complaints of their sufferings unto God, do not denote a full awakening, a full understanding of God's dealings with them. They're not here in this portion of God's word a revelation of Israel fully trusting the Lord. They're just becoming conscious that things are not right. Things are not right. If I might put it like this, if you began to have a tummy ache and you began to just feel unwell, that's not you getting cured. That's only you becoming aware that you're sick. Now from that, you'll complain to mum and she'll bring you to the doctor and the doctor will examine you and, well, it will lead on to you getting either medicine or some medical treatment whereby you're delivered from this sickness and you're cured and the pain's gone. Well, here in Psalm 74, the pain is just beginning. Israel's realizing something's wrong, something's wrong. But they have not yet come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would liken the state of affairs represented here in this psalm to that wonderful incident in the scriptures where the rich young man came to the Lord Jesus. Do you remember that story? It says he came running and he bowed down and he said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Now, he wasn't saved at that moment, but he was beginning to feel pains in his tummy, if I might put it like that. He had become conscious that he wasn't right with God. He didn't have eternal life. So he comes asking, "Lord, how do I obtain it?" The last we see of him was him going away from the Lord, refusing the words of the Lord and remaining in his sin. And it will be like that with Israel in the sense that, yes, they will become conscious that things are not right with God, but being conscious that things are not right with God is not the same as trusting in him for salvation. Now, you might be aware, "I'm not right with God. I'm not saved. My sins haven't been forgiven." Now, that's a good start, but you mustn't stop there. You must press on. Listen to what the Lord says as he tells you how you can be right with God and your sins be forgiven. So Israel here in Psalm 74 is a bit like the rich young man, conscious that things are not right, but not yet willing to obey the Lord, to believe the Lord. In the psalm, there's no mention of national or personal sin. There's no consciousness we have sinned. Oh, there's plenty of complaints of how things are and what it is they're suffering. But there seems to be no awareness of their sins. And there are many who feel that somehow or other God's against me. Things are not working out. But they don't understand that God is against their sin. They don't seem to recognize that. Don't seem to recognize that. And that's what you have here in this psalm. And that's where Israel will be in the last days. Feeling the troubles and the persecution. But not until God opens their eyes will they realize this is because of our sin and of our treatment of the Lord. And in the book of Zechariah, we read that when the Lord comes, the eyes of those Israelites still alive, those Jews that have come through the tribulation, their eyes will be opened to behold the one that they crucified. That's when they realize that's why God has been dealing with us in this fashion. Because back at Calvary, we crucified his son. But not until that moment will they understand that that's what's wrong in their relationship with God. But the psalm does teach us that there will be a gradual awakening, a gradual spiritual stirring amongst the Israelites, and they'll become aware that their relationship with God is not what it ought to be. Now, that's not the case at the present time. There is not amongst the Jewish people, generally speaking, there is not that awareness that we're not right with God. In fact, amongst many of the religious Jews, there is a very strong sense that we are right with God and everybody else is not. When we were in Israel, way back in 2010, I remember on one occasion we were looking for some place to have a bite to eat, and I met a young Jewish man just walking on the pavement, and he was very obviously a religious Jewish man, the way he was dressed. And I said, "Excuse me, could you tell us where we might get a place to eat?" And he just totally ignored what I asked and walked on. And I did the same with someone else. And among the religious Jews, they wouldn't even talk with me, because I'm a Gentile. I'm out of step with God. Little did they know that by the mercy of God, I was a converted person. I was right with God. I was walking with the Lord, and it was they who were out of step with God. Well, at the end of this age, they're going to begin to realize there's something wrong. The way things are happening to us, God's against us. Why is this? So that's what we have in this psalm. You know, as we hint regarding the nature of the psalm sometimes in the title, if you look at the very beginning of the psalm, it says, Maskil of Asaph. The word Maskil means a psalm of instruction. A psalm of instruction. And there's instruction here for us regarding how it will be in the future amongst the Jewish people. The name Asaph, he was the writer, he was the psalmist. But do you know what his name means? It means gatherer. We don't see there in this part of the world too much gathering except when they're cutting silage, and then it's all done with machines. Grass is cut and gathered up and away it goes. When I was a boy, I remember when there were plenty of men and women in the field when the corn was cut. And very often, although there were horse-drawn reaping machines, very often it was a man with a scythe that was doing the cutting. And behind him would come some, not too many. He only had one or two or three maybe that would have been there helping. And they would gather up the corn into a bundle, a sheaf, take a few of the strands and wind them round it. Twist it, and there you had a sheaf. And then, at a later stage, the sheaves were gathered into bundles of four or five and stacked together in the field. All part of the process of drying and fully ripening and harvesting. I remember that. That was gathering time, gathering in the harvest. And here we have a gathering time. God's going to gather the lost sheep of Israel. That's the process here. That's beginning. As we see in this psalm, Israel lamenting at the state of affairs and how God seems to be against them. That's the beginning of the gathering. If corn could feel anything, it'd feel a bit uncomfortable at being cut down by a scythe. Well, God is applying the scythe here to Israel. And they're feeling the cutting edge. And they're saying, "Why, Lord, are you allowing this pain and suffering?" Not understanding that it was the means God would employ to gather in his people and bring them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to end there because I have 3 points I want to make from the opening verse, but I'd never get 3 points completed now, and I don't want to sort of make a half start. So having given you that sort of an outline, which I trust the Lord will give you some understanding of, may the Lord help you. May the Lord help you. He's kind to you, you know, boys and girls, you may not understand it fully, but to be given instruction in these matters is a wonderful thing, and I trust that you will enjoy the bounty that God has granted to you. We'll come back to the matter the next time I'm with you. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, please help us to understand what it is you have written down in your word. And may nothing that the preacher says do anything to dim the bright light of your truth. But rather, Lord, may thy word enter the hearts of the boys and girls and give them understanding of what it is lies in the future and the dealings of God with Israel And in his dealings with Israel, may we learn that so he dealt with all that he would gather unto himself. Bless the school today, undertake for it, grant us favour, thy favour, and favour with man, for thy glory alone. We would seek this. Amen. Amen.